today's a special day. It's Mother's Day, and some of the things, and we're going to just do some discussion too, along with the message and whatnot. But today I wanted to talk to you about being a faithful mother. And if you got your Bibles, you can turn over to 2 Timothy. And that's where we're going to read from today, from the Word of God. 2 Timothy, verse 1 and 5. How many know who Timothy was? Now, I want y'all not sit there today. I want you to participate. Who was Timothy? What did they call him? He had a nickname, kind of, what? The beloved son, right? Did you know that?
Nope. No. Me and Paul,
Paul called him his beloved son. He was like his disciple. And he was a disciple of Paul, but he also was a man of God. And here, reading 2 Timothy, it says, Paul, an apostle, 1 through 5, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. Now here's a key point I want to bring out. For I am mindful of the sincere faith. One translation calls it unfeigned faith, the King James, which means genuine, sincere, okay? The sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. Let's pray. Father, let this word become alive to us today on this Mother's Day as we celebrate this happy occasion. Lord, let us see what you would have us to see. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear your word. And God, may each mother here and father and be encouraged today, God, of who we can understand we are now in Christ, in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, Pastor James Nichols was here, and he talked about God's purpose, right? And those of you who were here, it was a great message on God's purpose. And our heart is to go from there and keep going into what our purpose is in life, our finding our way in ministry and all these things. And Mother's Day come in. So when I was thinking about, well, do I stay there or do I, touch on Mother's Day too? I thought, well, I'd do a little bit of both here. And the fact is that this is a great example that it shares here in the scriptures in 2 Timothy. Now, I looked something up, a little bit of funny here, if y'all won't bear with me. This is a mom's dictionary. I found this, and it's pretty funny, some of it. It says mom's dictionary, and these are some words and mom's definitions. And one of them is dumb waiter. One who asked if the kids would care to order dessert. Family planning. The art of spacing your children the proper distance apart to keep you on the edge of financial disaster. Feedback. The inevitable result when your baby doesn't appreciate the strained carrots. I know some of you mothers are enjoying this, so you understand what I'm saying. Full name. What you call your children when you're mad at him.
Amen.
Grandparents. This is a good one because we're new grandparents. It's okay, so we're kind of celebrating Grandmother Day today a little bit. Grandparents. The people who think your children are wonderful, even though they're sure you're not raising them right. Hearsay. What toddlers do when anyone mutters a dirty word. Independent. How we want our children to be, as long as they do everything we say. Puddle. A small body of water that draws other small bodies wearing dry shoes into it. Show off. A child who is more talented than yours.
Oh!
Sterilize. What you do to your first baby's pacifier by boiling it, and to your last baby's pacifier by blowing on it. This is a good one. Top bunk. Where you should never put a child wearing Superman pajamas.
Amen.
2 minute warning. When the baby's face turns red and she begins to make those familiar grunting noises. And one more is, who done it? None of the kids that live in our house. In your house. A little fun, but that's some of the things, though, right, that I thought that was funny, Mom's Dictionary. But there's a guy named G. Campbell Morgan. He was a profound British preacher, and he had 4 sons, and they all become preachers, pastors, and influenced millions of people over in England with their preaching and teaching and writing. And one day, when one of his youngest son, Howard, finished preaching, a reporter asked him, and he asked him, he said, since you have 5 pastors in your family, who's the greatest preacher? And expecting the son to give the honor to his father, Howard surprised the reporter by saying, my mother. And sometimes that, you know, that's true. You know, a mother is that person that women are created for, the nurturing, the home, and that part of love. And men were, you know, and so so that's one of the greatest messages that is out there. When he, like he said in that, is that a mother teaches, preaches, proclaims the word of God over their kids, prays over their kids. And today I want to share a little bit about that. But it's really understanding who you are in Christ as mothers that makes it like Timothy's mother and grandmother. It says, be a reflection on your children and on children that even are not yours, you know, in your life as mothers. And so today I want us to focus a little on that, and what a faithful mother is, and kind of the priorities of mothers and what mothers do. Mothers are known for giving so much to their families. They sacrifice enormous amounts of time and energy to make sure that all are provided for, and that the children have all the needs, and the husbands. And so that sincere faith found in Lois and Eunice tells much about their impact on the life of Timothy here. You read that. That's why Paul starts off, and he sees that in Timothy, but he also saw it in Timothy's mother's and grandmother's life, which carried on into Timothy's life. And today, I think a lot of times, you don't see that as much. And I wonder why. Why do we not see that as much in our children? We're seeing society these days really focusing on everything but godly principles and priorities, morals, and some of the values of life. And the first priority of a mom is a spiritual nature. That's what I've got here, in that the moral values above all, a relationship with Jesus Christ. That above everything else, that's a priority for a mom and a dad also, but as parents, you know. And a faithful mother does 3 things, and I want to concentrate on those 3 things and talk about them a little bit today. And that first thing is this, that they live out their faith. A faithful mother lives out her faith. And So you see, Timothy was influenced by his mother and his grandmother. Now, let me note this. Not everyone had godly mothers and grandmothers, okay? Because me and Penny's talked about this a little bit, and how sometimes these days are not always great days for certain people. Mother's Day, certain Father's Day. You might have lost your father, your mother. You might have never had godly mothers like Timothy had here, and a grandmother. In my life, I love my mother, but we didn't go to church all the time. We didn't have that godly aspect in my home where I lived, but I knew the love was there. But what I know now as a believer in Christ, and as we're talking about here today, is the fact that my mother knew the Lord as much as she could know the Lord. She was never a disciple. She never went through those things in her life to learn the principles and the purpose of her life as being a mother and a godly mother, a godly person, and who she was in Christ. And so the biggest reflection in my life was my grandmother on that aspect of it. And my grandmother was one of the godliest women I've ever known in my life, and probably ever will. I may be being a little, but anybody that knew my grandmother know that she was like that. I mean, I never heard her cuss. I never heard her say anything bad about people, all these things. But do you think she was always like that? No. She's told me about times when before Christ that she, you know, had these struggles and things in her life and all this stuff. But it was after Christ she began to learn who she was in Christ, who she is in Christ, and her security again, and who she was as a mother and a grandmother all comes through that. Today I want you to focus on that in your life, because we're not looking at our mothers really, but you as mothers, you as grandmothers, whatever it is, because there's generational curses. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that, right? Mm-hmm. It's real. Mm-hmm. And it says in the Bible that it can be passed down how many?
Generation to generation.
And so what happens is, until we break off that thing of our life that has cursed our lives as mothers, fathers, whatever, you just stay in that same routine, that same thing in your life that you know. And anybody can jump in here in a minute if you've got something you need to share. But I mean, I know that from my mother's side that they didn't go to church regular and all that. Now, on my father's side, my grandmother did, and her, and on. But here's the key. Today, some of you are breaking those things off of your life. You're breaking those things that, as you know, off of your life, the curses, whatever those things are. But I'm telling you, it's only by knowing who you are in Christ and understanding the principles and purpose for your life. So this is really key right now in our life here, in our ministry, of everyone here in the body of Christ at Ministry House, because, listen, I can't do all this by myself. Me and Penny can't do it. This is all y'all. I mean, it's all us. And our children who are in there, who will have all this pretty soon when God opens the door for us to start our building over here, they need to know these things. They need these things applied in their life to where they don't have to go through things like I went through, and maybe some of you in your life, and learn the hard lessons of life. Okay, is this all right? Anybody got anything they want to share right there?
I want to share something.
Okay.
When we talk about mothers, I think we think about mothers over small children. But I think you're a mother till the day you die. As long as you have a child, I think that who we are in Christ, we model it at a certain level to our babies. They can only understand so much. Mm. They can see love, they can see kindness, they can see self-control. However, when your children are older, and even when your children are adults, your modeling becomes much more important. Because now they're seeing, as an adult, they're an adult, how you act as an adult. Once they're a mother or a father, how they should treat their children. As they grow older, they see your relationship with your spouse, if you have one, and how you interact, how you react. And a mother's job never ends. Although when they're younger, it's important for us to tell them the do's and the don'ts. The hard thing is later on when they become accountable for themselves, you can pray for them, you can try and speak to them when there's an opening, but at that point, all you have is modeling. Mm-hmm. You cannot tell them what to do. You have to live it out.
Good.
So that it's truly caught and not taught.
That's good. I'm going to touch something a little bit on that here in a second from a lady. A little bit goes right along with that. As I mentioned, my grandmother, this is a very special little book for me. It still influences my life today. And but this was my grandmother's thoughts and prayer little book that she had. And after she passed away, it was handed to me. Help me, Lord. I always knew my grandmother was a praying grandmother. She always told me she prayed and everything, but I had no idea, actually, how she really prayed. And I don't know how many of these books she had, but this was her last one, and I wouldn't take nothing in the world for it, because it's just full of page after page of a praying grandmother. And how she logged these things. We've been talking about this and CR and some of the I think even last week a little bit about journaling and that kind of thing, but how important these things can even be later on in our life. Because I don't know about you, but I forget a lot, and journaling's really special. But I want to read one thing out of it, and it was the last thing she wrote in here. Isaiah 54:13, it says, "And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children." That was the last page in her book. Right before that, she had wrote how she'd been going downhill, you know, and been getting sick. And Penny don't even know this, but her last thank yous was, "Thank you, Lord, for the changes in my family." And she names off all of us. Because at every top of every page is my daddy, my mother, me, my wife Penny, our two children, Crystal, Lester, my two nephew and niece, and then right on down the line with her family. And it says, Jerry came over and stayed a while, gave me his sweetest card. Diane was sweet and seemed different. Thank you, Lord, for bringing me home from the hospital without surgery. Also for all the friends you've given me who ministered and prayed for me. Also for Penny's being there for me. You're so good. last thing she wrote in her book. In our life, our children are reflected or influenced by things that we don't even imagine sometimes, you know? There's things that they're looking at all the time. They're so smart when we don't realize how smart they really are. But and going back to where we're at here, a faithful mother lives out her faith just like my grandmother. Maybe some of your families, your grandmothers, your whatever. But I don't want you to get hung up in the fact that if they're not there, this is about you today and where are you going to be. And you're going to change the things. And I want to get ahead of myself because I got 30 more minutes to preach. I'm good. I can go back to that in a minute. But the joy for a Christian mother is the salvation and service of her children. And I come across this poem, but I stink at reading poems. And I'm going to let Penny read this. She didn't know I'd do that. But read this for us. It's a great little poem.
I think oft times as the night draws nigh of an old house on the hill, of a yard all wide and blossom starred where the children played at will. And when the night at last came down, hushing the merry din, mother would look around and ask, are all the children in? 'Tis many and many a year since then, and the old house on the hill no longer echoes to childish feet, and the yard is still, so still. But I see it all as the shadows creep, and though many the years have been, since then I can hear my mother ask, are all the children in? I wonder if when the shadows fall on the last short earthly day, when we say goodbye to the world outside, all tired with our childish play, when we step out into the other land where mother so long has been, will we hear her ask, just as of old, are all the children in? Florence Jones Hadley.
It's a beautiful poem. Living your faith is trusting and obeying God, and that your children see that faith live out daily in your lives. In the daily lives of your children. Living your faith before your children means God is more precious to you than any other thing on earth. God has to be priority in all our lives. Above everything else, we get it all out of balance because we love our children so much. We think we can fix them. We think we can do... We can't do it, guys. Without the Lord in our life and Him being priority and first in our life, He has to be that most precious thing. When counsel in our parenting lessons are given, it must be included. It must include the Word of God. Period. Because if not, what are we? We're ministering, we're counseling, parenting out of flesh. You know? Mm-hmm. Isaiah 54:13 is that scripture I read earlier. Susan Wesley, anybody know who she is? Susanna Wesley?
That was the Wesley, the Methodist's mom.
Okay, good, yep. She bore 17 children. She had 17 children. Made time each week to take each of those boys and girls aside and counsel with them, speaking to them about the love of Jesus.
Wow.
The whole time. It's any wonder that one of those boys became one of the famous preachers of all time. Does anybody know who that is?
Is that Charles?
John Wesley. Yeah.
And Charles was the hymn.
And the other son was Charles Hymn, who wrote some of the greatest hymns ever. And one of them, I'll read it, is Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumph of His grace, Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. And he wrote that and many other hymns that are well known, but John Wesley changed the world through being a Methodist. The Methodist whole denomination was formed after John Wesley. And a faithful mother lives her life so that her children see through her attitude and actions by faith in God. Not only does a faithful mother live by her faith, she never ceases to pray for her children. Never ceases to pray for her children. Job 1:5 says, "And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually pray." You see, it says, I cannot tell how much I owe. Listen to this one. This is one that was written. I cannot tell how much I owe to the prayers of my good mother. I remember her once praying, "Now, Lord, if my children go on in sin, it will not be from ignorance that they perish, and my soul must bear swift witness against them at the day of judgment if they lay not hold on Christ and claim Him as their personal Savior." That was Charles Spurgeon had written that. If your child is disobedient, unruly, or hard to train, most of the time needs to be spent in prayer. Lauren Sanney, S-A-N-N-Y, Sanney, he was the one that, the Navigators, he was over the Navigators, once wrote of his mother. It says, "My mother gave birth to me in a frontier house on a Midwestern prairie. On the kitchen counter, she placed a list of the ingredients necessary for my formula. At the top of the list was prayer. And that reminded at the top of her list for me throughout her life. I have her to thank for firmly establishing my spiritual roots." Today in the Word, you know, we need to understand that these things in our life, sometimes we don't get all these, but now that you're in Christ and who you are, it can start establishing new traditions, new things in your families as mothers and fathers, and just these little things that might not seem like they're much to you right now can mean a world of difference to your children and down the road. Listen to this. There's 16 house rules that Miss Wesley, Susanna Wesley, had. And I wrote them all down because it was pretty cool. Number one was eating between meals, not allowed. How many know there has to be rules, right, in our house? There has to be some rules. We're not living under the law, but there still has to be rules. Eating between meals, not allowed. Number two, as children, they're to be in bed by 8 p.m. Number three, they're required to take medicine without complaining. Number four, subdue self. I like this. Subdue self. Will in a child. And those working together with God to save the child. So,
subdue self will?
In the child. Yeah, in a child. And I read a little bit about her that she was firm. She was a firm woman. And she subdued their attention. In other words, if they weren't listening to her and paying attention, she made them stand there and subdue them until they give her that attention that she deserved. That honor, we talked about that last week, the honor she to try to impart in them. So subdue self-will in a child. To teach it, five was to teach a child to pray as soon as he can speak. Wow. As soon as he can speak, teach a child to pray.
Wow.
Six, require all to be still during family worship. Well, that made me think of when I was real fidgety. And even when we went to church, when I was young, And it might have not have been every Sunday, but on some of those days, Christmas, Easter, different times and things, if my mom was there and I was wiggling around, I'm getting pinched. Mm-hmm. Boy, she had the pincher. And like, ooh, and ooh, to this day, that ooh. But I didn't forget it. I have to learn to stay still. Whatever it takes, I guess. I don't know. But teach them to stand still in family worship. Number 7, give them nothing that they cry for. And only that when asked for politely. Number 8, to prevent lying, punish no fault which is first confessed and repented of. To prevent lying, punish no fault which is first confessed and repented of. Number 9, never allow a sinful act to go unpunished.
Wait a minute, back up on the other one. So in other words, if they lied, if they confess it first, there is no punishment.
To prevent the lying for the next, or whatever it is, that they've done, punish no fault which is first confessed and repented of. In other words, if they come running to you and tell you they did wrong, she didn't punish them. Mm-hmm. Which prevented lying. Mm-hmm. Now, that's good, because I lied when I was a kid.
I didn't do that. I
had
to get whooping.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, it's not a... hey, there again. She raised some godly men. Number 10, never punish a child twice for a single offense.
Amen.
Number 11, comment and reward good behavior always. These glasses are no good. I gotta get some more.
Get some glasses.
Number 12. Any attempt to please, even if poorly performed, should be commended. Mm-hmm. Number 13. Preserve property rights, even in smallest matters. Number 14, strictly observe all promises. 15, require no daughter to work before she can read well. 16, teach children to fear the rod. That was the last one. Fear the rod. I guess a firm believer on spare the rod, spoil the child. Now, I'm sure a lot wouldn't agree with all these. Whatever, but there's some good stuff in there, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
I wrote here, she said, on discipline, Susanna Wesley believed that for a child to grow into self/disciplined adult, he or she must first be a parent/disciplined child. Now, that goes back to the self thing, I guess, what she's talking about, a parent/disciplined child. To her, the stubborn flesh was the hardest battle for Christians to fight, and godly parents would do well to equip their children to overcome it earlier. So she was a firm believer on that, subduing
the
self-will. She wrote, when the will of a child is totally subdued and it is brought to revere and stand in awe of the parent, then a great many childish follies may be passed by. I insist on the conquering of the will of children, because this is the only strong and rational foundation of a religious education. When this is thoroughly done, then a child is capable of being governed by reason and piety. Strong woman of God, strong disciplines, but yet love. A faithful mother prays for her children in front of them and when they're not around, for their salvation and for the closeness to God. Second of all, and our last but not least, is a faithful mother gives her children back to God. This is a tough one sometimes, giving your children back to God, letting go and letting God. Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Four sisters, right?
Yeah.
The people we love, you know, trusting God to that point. A faithful mother gives her children back to God. It's obvious from where Timothy ended up. Timothy's mother and grandmother were not only an influence in his life, but they didn't fight his calling to the ministry. They didn't try to hold him back. They were letting him go to be fulfilled of what the calling of God on his life was. Timothy's mother and grandmother's testimony was influenced on his testimony. It says there in verse 5. I was come across this book, and everybody knows Billy Graham, of course, and this is another little book that was with my grandmother's journal that she had given me years ago. She said, "Now, grandson," she said, "don't, just because a woman wrote this don't mean you can't read it." I said, "Okay," and I hadn't read it, I just being honest,
I did.
Because yeah, Penny had read it, but it's an old book, and the front come off. But it's Ruth Bell, his wife, wrote this, and there's so much good stuff in there. I could put it down after I started reading it, read through it.
Actually, I gotta do that too.
But it is an awesome book, and I want to encourage you, if you hadn't ever read it, to get one. But there was some good stuff in here, so much good stuff of what a woman of God, how she handled the home front. When her husband was out preaching the gospel all over the world and stuff, and how, you know, she coped and raised all these kids really by herself
and
most
of
the time in her
rebellious.
Life.
Franklin
was
so rebellious.
One of the most rebellious children. She talks about it all in this book. She's so open and honest and this stuff in it.
About being angry with her husband
and
all sorts of
it's
stuff.
It's really good, but a couple pages, I just marked a few. I want to read a couple of things here. And she was something like here. She was journaling, and it's, "Dear Journal, reading again from Exodus 33:12-16. This job of training for little Grahams to be soldiers of Jesus Christ is too big for me. Whom am I not as good a soldier myself? Feeling particularly distracted," and she quotated, "or I should say overwhelmed and confused this morning. I have been looking to the Lord asking, where from here? Bill will be leaving soon for San Francisco meeting, and I almost have a sinking feeling. Not altogether a left behind and left out sort of feeling, but swamped. Knowing that all things I have depending on others to do, I shall have to do myself." Some of you probably understand what she's writing right here now, okay? Ashley's laughing, I know. "And things have not been going smoothly. There's a terrible amount of fighting amongst the children, ugliness and backtalk from Gigi. And on my part, backed by sporadic, uncertain discipline. Mr. Sawyer," this guy is the guy that was kind of a caretaker for him, "said in speaking of his mother the other day, when she said, 'Wow,' we know that meant wow. Wow, that meant wow. I'm not walking the Lord's way at all. I'm doing what I feel like doing rather than what I ought to do." Mm. Three verses hit me hard. "She who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives." 1 Timothy 5:6. "And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy," and she got to self-control. Self-indulgence is doing what we want rather than what we ought. I've always thought of self-control applying to temper or to drink. But what about the almonds in the pantry, the ice cream and the chocolate sauce, the candy, which I know will add unnecessary pounds and make my face break out? What about controlling my tongue, my tone of voice, standing up straight, writing letters, all these and many more need controlling. And I don't look well to the way of my household. Now, this is good. Children, well taught, even into brushing teeth and keeping room straight. Regular family prayers at supper table. Children's clothes kept mending and neat and organized. Getting ready for Sunday or Saturday service. Well, there's no use going into all that. It just boils down to the fact that I am not being a good mother. So I took it to him this morning. I want above everything to be the kind of person he wants, meaning God. If he had his undisputed way in me, I would be. Everything would solve itself. The place to begin is here. The time to begin is now. And as I reread Exodus 33, the phrase that jumped out at me, which I had never noticed before, was, "Show me now thy way." See, sometimes it takes us looking at the reality of who we are, how we're acting, how we're responding, the things in our life, to get to this point, like she had got to right there, say, "Lord, I can't do this without you. I need you. I can't. I don't have the strength. I don't have the power to do this." And that takes all the pressure off of you, moms. It takes it all and puts it in God's hands. That I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He is the way. One other real quickie here, and then I'll finish. There's so much good stuff in here. I had been extra hard on Anne one day when she was small. The details have evaporated with years. All that is except a small girl's tearful comment as I tucked her in bed. "Mother, you make it so hard to be good." Someone had said, "A Christian is one who makes it easy to believe in Jesus." Perhaps it could also be said, a good mother is one who makes it easy for a child to be good. That's good stuff.
Can I share something?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just being honest. One of the things I really struggle with, both of my children are out of church. But when we left World Harvest and then we didn't go anywhere, that was in the formative years of my kids, and we stopped going to church. Or then we'd go somewhere and try to go and just didn't fit in. And so it became normal, whereas it started out, the kids learned every time the doors open, we're there, and they have friends there. And they were hurt. My daughter was very hurt that she got ripped away from her friends in church and that she had to start over. I really struggle with the guilt that my daughter is not in church now because we weren't in church. We didn't go continuously at that point, and so it's normal for her not to go to church. And that bothers me. Of course, I still have to leave it with God. But where would she be today if I had kept that up? If I had been faithful, if I had set aside my own emotions and everything else and had just gotten my butt up and taken them? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If I had been in church all that time, where would I be now? So I just wanted to share that because God's just really revealing. You know, I need to ask His forgiveness for that. And I need to let it go. I need to let it go.
You know, none of us do everything right. We all make mistakes. And
you know, today's not about that. It's if God's showing us these things in our life, then that's good. We need to make amends or whatever we have to do. But isn't it awesome, though, that the Bible says God completes what He starts in us? I mean, I went to church when I was a little kid. I accepted Jesus at a young age in Bible school. But did I live that life? No. I didn't get taken, you know. And when I did get taken, I resented it. So you can't beat yourself up and the things that you've done wrong. But you can start working on the things to do right now. And that's what today's about, learning that and how to do these things. And, you know, you may have to have 16 rules. You may have to do some stuff, whatever it takes to get the priorities in your life functioning right and getting your family on track. I don't know, but there's a balance in it. And it's like Miss Bell had found, God has to be the priority. He has to be the first. And in our family's life. So, and in closing, I want to share, well, there's another Old Testament mother. Anybody know who that was? Hannah?
Mm-hmm.
She said, 1 Samuel, "Oh my Lord, as your soul lived, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. For this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my portion, which I asked of him. So I have also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord." So, in other words, giving our children over to God, trusting God, like Penny just shared, we have to do that and keep, but we can keep praying and giving your children to God means, first of all, you acknowledge that your children are a gift from God for the purpose of raising in a godly fashion with godly values and a sense of God's calling. They're God's. God just allowed us to have them, right? I mean, from the beginning of the world, God knew each and every one of you before what? The foundation of the world, before you were even in your mother's womb.
Mm-hmm.
So then, do you think God can't handle this? God's got this.
Mm-hmm.
Psalms 127, 1 through 5 says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walketh by vain." It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. It's his reward, not ours. That's awesome when you think about that. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. There's a story, and I want to close with this, about a man and a beautiful story. It's related to a boat and how that this man was out to sea. And he was a father and his little daughter, and they were out at sea, and a great storm come up, and this great storm had them trapped out, and they couldn't get back to the bay and get back home. And the story goes on, and the mother was at home, and her and her son was there, and they were in fear for the father and the little daughter. And so the mother went and lit a lamp, and she lit this lamp and started taking it upstairs to the attic window. And the little boy cries, "It won't do any good, mother." The son called out to her, you know, because the storm was so big, "It won't do any good, mother." But the mother went on, and she put that light in the window, and she trusted, and she was praying and asking God to get her her husband and daughter safe. And she went back down and she waited and waited. But all of a sudden, slowly but steadily, the father was out with the daughter, and they saw this light, this barely peep of light. And so they slowly but steadily came towards the light, and at the last they were anchored. And there they were anchored back in front of the little cottage, and the mother come running out and with her arms wide open, you know, and said, "Thank God," cried the mother as she heard their glad voice and them as they come and she come down to the dock, and the little boy says, "How did you get here?" And the girl says, "We were steered by mother's light," answered the daughter. "Although we didn't know what was out there," she said, "we couldn't see nothing but that light. But we saw that light that mother had put up in the window," she told the little boy. Do you think that made an impact on that little boy's life? He went on, and later in life, he got a little older, and he got deathly sick, and the doctors come in and says that he has this disease, it's fatal in his life, and he's not going to live. And months went by, and the young man, he said, "Don't be afraid for me," he said, as he wept. "I shall make the harbor, for I am steering by my mother's light." You see, we don't know what influence we have on children. We don't know ever half the time what they're even thinking, you know. But you guys as mothers and fathers are such an influence on your children, and now you're learning who you are in Christ is the most important time in your life. Maybe you was raised, you like me was a hellion, you know, your family didn't go to church, you didn't it doesn't matter. What matters now? It doesn't matter if your mother wasn't a believer and she was mean, she beat you. You may not have had a mother, I don't know, but what matters now is, like I read earlier, and it says you can start now. You can start now becoming that mother. And it's never too late. It's never too late to love our children and continue to show them. And even as Penny said, yeah, we did things wrong. Our feelings and our hurts kept our children and caused them to have some issues. And we're all gonna have those with in our life, and our children may be affected by them, but it's what we do now. It's the most important thing. So today I want us to say, thank you, Lord. We're thankful that we're here today. We're blessed. And I'm going to close up in a prayer. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that your mercy, your grace is sufficient. And for all of us, Lord, that have children, and on this day we give you praise and honor, and we thank you, Lord, that as your word says, we draw near to you, you'll draw near to us, and we're seeking you right now. And I pray for every mother in this room, Lord. The task at hand is, like Miss Bell had said, sometimes it's just overwhelming. When you have multiple children and our grandchildren, or some of us older than others that are experiencing that time in our life, Lord, let us be godly examples, influencing our children, our society, even those children that are not ours. As we become ministers here, Lord, and calling in our life to impart in other children, may they see the reflection of Christ, who we are in you, Lord, in you and us. That makes a difference in our children and those children we come in contact with, our children's friends. And we just never know, Lord, who that one person is, that next Franklin Graham, that next Billy Graham, that
John Wesley, or those women and men of God that can influence others to change this world, God. I believe there's world changers in this room, and God, their children, and Lord, we believe, God, in standing the gap for every one of these children, and I stand in the gap for these mothers and ask the Lord for divine intervention. Give them strength and wisdom, and God, encourage them today to trust you and leave some of these issues that they try to do by themselves at your feet, Lord. Help them to, Lord, balance the life that, Lord, they can live godly mother lives and reflect just as Timothy's mother and grandmother, that, Lord, others see that influence in our children, in our lives, God. And, Lord, we thank you for all this today, and it's in your Son's name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.